You probably know this already, but I'm sure the world doesn't know it. That Mother's Day is a result of Mary's birth of Jesus Christ. And the Catholic Church, down through the ages, has promoted and perpetuated motherhood as really the highest calling amongst all creation. And if you just think about it a little bit, would somebody here please raise their hand who did not have a mother? Good, I'm glad we're all on the same page. But it's Mother's Day is you could say it's a Catholic institution. It's really a biblical institution, but the Catholic Church has been the sole promoter of motherhood throughout the ages. And to this day, they maybe go a little overboard with the whole Mary thing, but the fact is, nobody else does. If you were raised in any kind of Protestant church, Mary was not really a figure at all in the doctrine. Matter of fact, they stayed away from it because the Catholics were so strong on Mary. Prayers to Mary and Mary's activity from heaven to earth, which, who knows the truth of that? But the scripture is very clear about it. And nobody on earth will prosper who doesn't honor and respect Mary. Nobody. I mean, people who mock the mother of Jesus, they don't have good lives. And I'm going to read a few scriptures that concern that. But in Luke, this is Mary. She says, "My soul magnifies you, O Lord, and my spirit is rejoicing in my Savior. For you have regarded the low estate of your handmaiden. And from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." I mean, this is the prophetic word. "He that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name." She prophesied this before Jesus appeared. She called his name holy. And Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, said his name is holy. She didn't get that out of a book. She got that through the revelation, prophetic word of wisdom. "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and established those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." The rich continue to be sent away empty. When I watch, whether it's Facebook founder Zuckerberg or whatever his name is, you know, Bill Gates, all these people. These are empty, empty people. They have nothing in their spirit of life. He has sent them away empty. How much greater is it to have the spirit of wisdom than gold and silver? Took me a few years to really understand that and figure that out and agree with it. So that comes out of Luke. Well, Cece wrote a little letter to Rachel years ago. And you know, this is such a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit. It's just shocking. And though she wrote it to Rachel, it's to all of God's children. This is to all of you. This is to the children of God everywhere, worldwide. It is just powerful. And take this to heart. And then I'm going to read a little bit out of Proverbs that absolutely just, you can see where this came from. You have been called and chosen by God to be part of His family and this family. To be a precious stone, beautiful in the eyes of the Lord, and to whomsoever and wherever He turns will prosper. And that's what the scripture talks about, the gift of God. Wherever it turns, it'll prosper. It's like a precious stone that reflects the light. Wherever it turns, it shines brightness wherever it turns. That's the gift of God. No talking, girls. You are to be wise for yourself and your friends. May your uncompromising path be as a light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter every day, that's been prepared for you. Every day is prepared for us. And this should make a lot of sense. I mean, we've been 3 weeks now at least on the preordained work of God that He has set before each one of us to walk in. The predestined work that He has fit each one individually into and gifted you to prosper in that predestined, preordained work. You weren't predestined to succeed. The work was predestined for you to walk in. You will succeed if you focus on it and stay faithful to it and be in faith toward it. You will prosper and it will be fulfilled. And nothing in heaven or earth can prevent you. That's the thing you should get in your spirit. Is that when you are focused toward what He has put in front of you to do, and you do it with all your heart and be in faith for it and love, nothing can stop it. Nothing. Not even the Democrats. Take strong heed to instruction and correction. And not only will you be in the path of life, but you will be a path of life to others. A good and godly example. Don't neglect reproof and go astray. Because if you do that, you'll be in the path of ruin. And ruin to others and cause them to go astray. Everything that you do has consequences for somebody else. Not that you care about that, because most of the time we don't think about it. But when that remains part of your consciousness, it's a game changer. I used to be a madman on the highway. I mean, I used to drive however I wanted to drive. But when I married Cece, I had this voice behind me saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I realized, and she would say, what are your kids going to think? Never thought about that. And she started connecting me to my path, the path I was laying down for others. Without her, it's doubtful that I would have really ever been connected. Yeah, in some things, but not really like I should have been. And by the way, if you're a man, and if you're a young man, that's you. You're not connected. You don't think about that. Remember, Jesus did what was good and right for the sake of others. That's one of the mysteries of the gospel. How many people do you think read the word? How about you? I didn't. I read his word and found great life in it for me. But I never saw behind him and his works, his motive and intention for the sake of others. I didn't see that. Yet I was one who was benefiting from what he did. And I was blind to the fact that he did what he did for me. What does it mean to follow the Lord? It means to follow the path that he laid out, specifically laid out for me. Which means he did what he did for me, not for himself. We should please others and not ourselves. That's one of the principles of the New Testament. So we go to people with something we see about their life that we know is wrong, or we have a struggle with, and we share it with them, and they don't receive it from us, and we get mad as hell at them. And we're almost ready to put them out because they don't agree with me. So let me ask you, did we share that word of truth and instruction for their sake or for mine? Well, it was for me. I'm happy if they received it. I'm mad as hell if they didn't. Who was it for? It was for them. I dare say if I gave you $100 to give to somebody and you went up to give it to them, they said, hey, the hell with you, I'm not receiving that $100. You'd say, great, thanks. You wouldn't be upset. You wouldn't get mad. You just keep it for yourself. Well, what about the words that we have for others? Why do we get mad and upset when they don't receive it? Well, because, you know, they won't get any better and they'll continue. Oh, so it's all about how they affect you. I see. There's one word that describes that attitude. Inquisition. That's what the Catholic Church did in the Dark Ages. They tortured people to death until they believed. There's a good evangelistic tool. For the sake of others, may all who follow in your path find the footprints of faith and love. The more you walk in faith, obedience, and love, you won't hear the voices of strange spirits. Did you hear that? The more you walk in faith and love, you won't hear the voice of the enemy. Neither will you be tempted. Your temptations will go away. That's something I've talked about periodically, but when I was a young Christian, I wondered if I would ever live beyond my temptations. I wondered if I would ever really, honestly not be tempted. I wondered if I would ever live a life happy to walk in faith, happy to not do the things I wanted to do, happy about it. You know, if sin were apple pie, if I would ever be happy not eating it. Because what I was looking at inside the church and inside my contemporary Christian friends was there was a level of happiness, but they were really unhappy about the things they couldn't be happy doing. Because they all were filled with temptation still. So hence the prayer, lead me not into temptation, as if the Lord does. He doesn't. That's a mistranslation. It reads, let me not be led into temptation. Because James tells us that no man, when he's tempted, is tempted of the Lord, but tempted by the lust that lives within him. When I pray the Lord's Prayer, when I come to that area, I say, lead me into all righteousness. I'm not asking him to lead me away from temptation, or lead me not into temptation. He doesn't even do that. Why would I ask him not to do what he won't do anyway? Did you get that? So if you hear the voice of the Lord, you won't hear the voice of the enemy. You'll know and hear the voice, and the words you speak will be wisdom and health to all who hear you. Wisdom and health. 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 And the longer you walk in his words, the better chance you have of remaining physically healthy. You may have things that halt you a little bit, but they won't stop you from your calling. They won't stop you from his purpose in your life. He sees to that. He allows little infirmities. Paul had his infirmities. And he besought the Lord sincerely, and the Lord said, hey, my grace is sufficient. Shut up. Paul was okay with that. I prayed for things throughout my career. Most he's answered, I'd say, over a period of time. Most of my prayers weren't answered when I prayed them. 10 years later, they were. Just took a long time to get to heaven, I guess. The communication line must have been very busy. You know. We all know that heaven's line is a party line. You have to wait your line. Wait your time in line to get your prayer going through. No, he's not. He doesn't have Alzheimer's. He's not up there going, what was that they asked? He's not going, well, we could get to that, but gosh, we got so many ahead of him. I don't know if you realize this. Your prayer, your sincere, heartfelt, faithful prayer interrupts, in a sense, is instantly received. Instantly. It's heard. How many of you think you can sin and not be seen? Yeah. See, we know that's not true. We say contrary words out of our mouth to somebody else, instantly we feel convicted. Why is that? Because heaven rejected those words. Instantly. When you go to type in a website, if you forget a period or an exclamation mark, or it doesn't go through, does it? And how long does it take to be rejected? Instantly. How did man figure that one out? Well, you got to understand, Brother Sullivan, that's electronically, and it's communication. Your words of wisdom will be a gift that brings you before great people. Problem is, we don't know who great people are. How many of you think you've been brought before great people? Well, every one of you should be raising your hand. And you will be the delight of kings, the delight of rulers. Oh, our kings don't know me. If you look up that word, it's not kings sitting on a throne only, it's rulers, leaders. He loves the words of the upright. That's another thing that we don't really connect to that one. What does God love?
Well, he loves his creation, Brother Sullivan.
And what's that? That he loves the trees. He loves the rocks. He loves the antelope.
Oh, yeah, he loves all them. Then why do you kill them?
And eat them. Bad enough you kill them, but then you eat them. You cut down the trees and burn them in your furnace. You run over flowers and grass all the time and you don't hear the grass crying out, ouch. Does God love his creation? Oh yeah. What does he love above all things? He loves his people. And what comprises a person? What is a child? What is the value of a child? Well, a child, the value of a baby and a child is just his existence. But when that child starts growing up and can formulate words and thoughts and has the power to reason, the scripture says God loves. God is in love with good words. So what might he not be in love with? Faithless, harmful, hurting, bad words. And that doesn't mean you can't ever speak correction to people. Remember that death and life are a powerful force in your words. We do eat our words. So be very thoughtful about your speech. Boy, this is wisdom for us to hear. You rail on your wife, you've just eaten death unto your soul. Order your words. They can save all that hear them. When you make Jesus your Lord and obey him, you have beauty outside and in. Think about the meditation of your heart and care that it's acceptable to the Lord, because when you please him, he'll fight your battle for you. He'll do warfare with your enemies. He will. You don't have to. And you know, the Bible's full of that. Everybody uses old Hezekiah's going to war, and the Lord said, send the minstrels out in front of the warriors. And I'm sure the minstrels thought, well, this is his way of getting rid of us. Hopefully he'll wear them down. We'll wear them down. They'll be all wore down, killing us. And they started singing praises to the Lord. And what happened? The Lord defeated the enemy. Order your conversation aright and see his salvation. for you and those you love. Words from a mother to a daughter. Words from the Holy Ghost to the church. Words from Jesus to his bride. Words from God to his children. We'll make copies of this so you each can have them. So I'm going to read out of Proverbs 4, start at 18. For the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. I'm going to break some of this down for us. The path of the just, what is that? The path, the way, the walk of those being justified by God in their faith. Whenever you read the word just, the just, I'm not an English major, but the just is a noun, I would think. And actually, it's personal. It could be a personal pronoun. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? It means the justified by God because of their faith that works by love. The justified by God. Will be a path and a shining light. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is darkness. So in context, what the original says is the way of the unjust is dark. And they don't know what makes them fall. The way of the unjust. Who are the unjust? Who are the unjust? All those who are unjustified because they're not walking in faith and love in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the unjust. And the scripture calls them wicked. The unjust, those who are not legally justified by faith and love in Jesus Christ, they stumble and they don't know why they stumble and they don't know what they fall. They don't know why they're falling. And you could say, well, I thank God I'm not that. It's once justified, always justified is not how it works. You are justified when you're in faith. When you're not in faith, guess what? You're not being justified by the Spirit. Well, let me ask you this. Have any of you ever been stumbling through a part of your life and falling away from whether it's making money or being successful or having a spirit of faith? Have you ever been outside of faith since you've been in Jesus Christ? Have you ever experienced that and didn't know why?
Yes.
Just told you why. The unjustified stumble and fall and they don't know why. But now you know why. What makes you stumble and fall? Being out of faith. Not rightly focused. Forgetting the work set before you and your, quote, love, being in love. A lot of people that have been married a long time, they love each other. Divorced people love each other. A lot of divorced people love each other. You see it all the time. But what aren't they? They're not in love. You see the difference? When you're in love, you don't get divorced. When you're in love, there is a passion and an active position of love and faith working in that relationship that keeps you. When you fall out of love, then the relationship changes. You can still love that person, but you're no longer in love. So that special graced relationship no longer exists. That's something that's never happened with CC and I. We have never fallen out of love. We have never just gone to, well, we love each other. So, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to what I'm saying to you. Lean into it. If you've ever got to a place where you can read body language, I had a dream last night that I was with, looking at these people, and I was trying to draw this person in, and their words were accepting my drawing them in, but their spirit was rejecting it. And my comment was, I said, I see that really this isn't something you want to do. And I walked away. Lean into my words. If you love his words, you will lean into them. If you're afraid of his words, you'll just stay where you're at. If you're rejecting, rebelling against his words, you'll back up. I've seen that. You can see body language in people do this. I've watched people sitting in a congregation turn their head like this. Look down. Let my words not depart from your eyes. Let my words not depart from your eyes. Well, that obviously speaks to reading the word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice it doesn't say memorize them in your mind. Where did the church get that? Where did these scholars come up with meditation and memorization? Where did they get that? You can't find it in the word. It says keep it in your heart. They think keeping words in your heart means memorizing them in your mind. Totally different operation. When I have something in my heart to say to you, like today, where are my notes? Where's my pre-written script? I must have a photogenic memory. I wrote it down last night, looked at it, memorized it. Now I'm talking to you about it. I'm not speaking to you out of anything I've memorized because I've held it in my heart. I don't need to remember what I thought or what I read or what I learned because it's active and it's in me and it's coming from my heart to you. And much of what comes to you comes from heaven. I'm just speaking it. I'm getting it as you're hearing it, I'm getting it. That's why I listen to my meetings 2-3 times during the week and take notes myself. Because it's not me having a better idea. Keep them in the midst of your heart. How do you lose heart inspiration? How do you lose that? It's replaced with another inspiration of heart. That's how you lose it. For my words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. He sent his word, Psalm 107:20, and healed them. When you keep God's words in your heart, the light of heaven shines brightly in your soul. And one thing we know naturally in the medical field is no disease can live in light. No viruses can live in light. You know what we all miss going to bed every night? We miss the smell of sheets that have blown dry in the wind and been cleansed by the sun. Some of you have never even experienced it. Hanging sheets on the clothesline and having them dry with the wind and the sunlight and purified by the sunlight. There's a smell of freshness to those sheets that cannot be duplicated any way whatsoever. I mean, if you want to do a little experiment, get the hubby to make, all you need is one clothesline, and decide that you're going to dry your sheets, just your sheets, on the clothesline. It's not much work, really. And let them dry in the sunlight and the wind. And see how you feel going to bed on those. It's a different experience. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart are the issues of life. So put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips, and let your eyes look straight on. Let your eyes look straight ahead of you and ponder the path you're walking on. Ponder your path. Make sure that the path you're walking on coincides with the preordained work you're called to. And if it doesn't, get off of it. And turn not to the right hand or to the left. And remove your feet from compromise. We watched last night over at Dan's, we had dinner, and we watched Men of Boys Town. It's the sequel to Boys Town, which are true stories. And Boys Town is a real place that exists to this day. Father Flanagan started it with just a couple of kids. Thousands of kids have gone through this, been taken care of. And when it was over, there was a, at the very end of it, there's a little monologue that Father Flanagan gives the graduating kids, graduating class, as to the kind of men that they will become if they stay focused and stay faithful to the things that they've been taught, to the words that they've been given. And one of the things I got up afterwards and I shared with the kids, and I said, you know, Father Flanagan didn't give any of these kids any money when they left. They were able to earn money because Boys Town is a town. It's got a post office, it's got grocery store, it's got all this, and it's all run by kids. Kids run the whole thing. And the mayor of Boys Town is one of the kids that's voted in by the kids. The whole thing's run by kids. But when they leave, when they graduate, nobody's supporting them. Nobody's giving them $100,000. There's no inheritance coming to them. You know what they're leaving with? The words and the work and the faith that they've been imparted. That's what they leave with. Interestingly enough, I never saw this movie when I was a kid. That's what I gave Brandon and Wade. As little guys, I said, you know what, you guys? Let me tell you what my inheritance to you will be. I said, if you're in the ministry with me, whatever the ministry has will be available for you to use for the ministry. If you're not in the ministry, nothing in the ministry will be for you to use. Other than what you will have is you will have my words and you'll have my faith. That's what I'm giving to you. That's what you'll have, and that's all you need. And then I thought back as to, you know, what the Lord gave me pretty much at the outset of Jump for Jesus. He said, stay in shape, keep yourself fit. Stay in my word. And that means hear my words, follow my words, speak my words. You know the best way to memorize the word of God is speak the word of God. But it'll do more than cause you to memorize it. It'll put it in your heart. When you speak the word to somebody else that he's given to you and you do it sincerely, it forever lives in you. Well, I don't remember that. You don't need to remember the scripture and verse. I hardly ever give it. That's not important. The fact is what I'm speaking is God's word. He knows it. And the people that listen to me are always saying, well, where is that in the Bible? You know, what scripture is that? I said, you're fine in the Bible. The fact, well, what is it? I said, I don't know. Look it up. How do I know it's God's word? Because it brought life to your spirit. Stay in shape. Stay in my word. And what he told me was jump the bike. But you know what that entails? Do the work that I've prepared for you. And whether that's jump the bike, preach the word, teach the word, disciple, do the work of the ministry. Do those three things. And those three things are covered in this proverb, these proverbs. Stay in my word, speak right words, keep your heart with all diligence. And like I say, you will prosper. And when you find yourself not prospering, when you find the rough kind of road, the road kind of rough, when you find that going on, things start getting a little rough, it's time to back up and judge yourself a little bit and say, okay, Lord, where am I missing it? Where am I out of it? Because in the kingdom of God, I'll clean this up. Crap does not happen. In the kingdom of God, that doesn't exist. It does in the world. What's kind of remarkable that when I think about it, in my life, I can't remember anything that ever really took me by surprise. Now you think about that. Any jobs I was ever let go of, any ministry things that fell through, I always had a sense it was going to happen. I can't say that I can remember, maybe I was, but I can't remember ever being shocked by anything that happened to me in my life. What do you think about that? Wow, I didn't see that coming. Well, not really. I kind of saw that coming. And henceforth, I've never had anything happen that has caused me to doubt in the Lord. I have doubted my faith at times. Have you ever doubted your faith?
Yeah.
Yeah. we doubt our leadings at times because we can't always know whether we're being led by the Spirit or by our own desire. The best way to figure that one out is to let it go and see what happens with it. It's kind of like, well, how do I know that dog belongs to me? Walk away from him without feeding him. So just a little example. 3 years ago, Joe and I started looking for a smaller RV. Because when we go on the road to scout or whatever, we just basically take the RV. And because we scout and we have appointments in town and we go to various churches and go to things, my RV was not easy to park in town, not easy to tool around in once we get there. Really nice on the highway and nice in the KOAs, and I had no problem there, but we wanted something, we just felt like we didn't need something that big. And so we started looking. Well, the ones that I was looking at, we were looking at 2000, well, in 2014 and 15, we started looking for a smaller unit. Well, we found ones we liked, but they were like $65,000, $75,000. And there was no way I could make that happen. So we just put it on hold. And I wasn't sure of my leading, and I was very thankful for the one that we have. Always have been. But I took my RV down, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, something like that, to have some work done on it. And the thought just came to me, go look. So I went over to Pierce and we started looking at, and where were we going? We were going to Costco or something. So I turned left out of Billings RV. Joe says, Costco's that way. Oh, the bank, whatever. I said, well, we need to go here for a little bit. He didn't know what we're doing. Pull up to Pierce and walk out in the back. We start in the back row. They got the smaller units, 22, 24 footers. And so we start looking at them. Well, they're all 2019s or 2018s. And there's a row about 10 or 12 of them. And they all look alike, really. I mean, they're a little bit different configurations and stuff, but they all look kind of alike. And this sales lady is with us. I said, what's this? So 2018, how much is this? So 101,000. I said, no. So we're moving down. I said, don't you have any used ones? She says, yeah, there's about three of them down here. Well, you couldn't tell they were used. They were 2014s and 15s. Well, we went inside one and we felt like this is it. So 3 years later, so they run some numbers, and I didn't say this, but I was going to tell her, but I didn't because I didn't want to upset her. But I've told people before, I said, you know, it's against my religion to pay list. It's against my religion to pay what you're asking for, just so you know. Well, we got, not only did we get it for $3,000 less than they were asking, but we got brand new tires. We got work thrown in on the side. And they gave me a basic ballpark figure of what they'd take mine in on trade. And I thought, you know, we need to see if there's somebody in the body that wants mine. So step up Mr. Rick and Janelle Ramsbottom. They now are proud owners of the Jump for Jesus RV. Rick says, When I called him up, I said, hey, you know, I'm just making this available. And he says, well, we... So I said, so, you know, I'm just making it available and I'll give it to you for a price you can't refuse. But he said, well, he said, we're really looking for just something to pull behind the truck, just a camper, a little camper. I said, okay, no problem. Hung up. About 20 minutes later, he calls back. He says, you know, Janelle, he didn't say this, but Janelle ain't sleeping in no little tent camper. Forget that. But they talked it over and they thought, you know what, why not? Because what I thought about is going to see Raquel and different things. I mean, it just makes the trip so much easier. Well, yeah, that's what we said. He'll be there with his feet up on the dash and Janelle will be tooling down the road. Hey, it works for him. But the word says, through great patience, we inherit the kingdom. So it's just a matter of being patient. Yeah, several of the programs that we ended up doing, we bid in the towns several times looking to do a program, never happened. But then in God's timing, it came to us. Anyway, so you can consider this. That's about all I wanted to say, and then we'll open it up for others to share. Amen.